You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from the beautiful Los Angeles radio station, LA Talk Radio, of course. And we are on every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And our show is about informative entertainment. And that means that it's our goal to provide you with resource information, tricks of the trade, tips, everything that you'll need in order to pursue your career in entertainment. So we hope to inspire you and motivate you and do everything we can to get you to come to California or go to New York or wherever it is that you want to pursue a career in show business. And we want you to make your dream a reality. So whatever that takes, we are going to bring a guest on. We're sure that we're going to have somebody on here that's going to motivate and inspire you. I don't know who, but that means you're going to have to just keep listening. And listen, we encourage you to call in and ask questions of our guest. We like you to call in between 5:15 and 5:30. And we have a new number, everybody, a new number. It's no longer the 818 number. The new number is 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And also we have a new Skype name, and that is LA Talk Radio. LA Talk Radio. So if you have any foreign friends or family, you can tell them to call me and they can call and ask questions about you. So we just don't have a universal number. Someone's on another planet, no, we cannot help them. But if they are in another country, we can hook them up. And remember, if you call in, you talk to the guest directly. Actually, you'll call in and I will say hello. And you don't have to give any sort of private information. You'll come directly in here and then we'll hook you up right with the guest. You get to talk directly. Now, if you liked our show, if you thought it was just fantastico, and you found that it helped you in some way, we would love to hear about it on the forum. And that is a place where all of the guests go to talk about their experience on the show, we hope. And then also for people who are listening to talk about how great the guests were. They were so wonderful, fantastic. They inspired me. Oh my God, I'm going to quit my job today and pursue a career. So that's what we want to hear on the forum, and that's on the latalkradio.com website, and you just click on forum. And again, all it takes is an email address. You don't have to fill out any complicated information, and then you just click on start a topic, and you are in like Flynn. Takes a minute, and you are done. Now, we have an incredible guest today. Oh my gosh. I have been waiting. She has been so patiently waiting forever. She is an actor, singer, songwriter. Her name is Ty Paul. Also Tiana Parr. I don't know which one she prefers. I call her both. You can check her out now. Everybody, I would love you to go to her website. It's on MySpace. So you can go to myspace.com/ Ty Parr. That's TYPARR. So myspace.com/ TYPARR. And you will just, as soon as you pull it up, a song is going to start, and you're going to become mesmerized with that song. So you're going to have to force yourself not to listen to the song to come back and listen to the radio interview, because the song is fantastic. She is an incredible songwriter as well as a singer. I was listening to her music and I just said, oh, I'm just going to listen to it. I just put it right in my favorites. And now I'm going to listen to her every day. I'm hoping she'll give me one of her CDs, but she hasn't brought one today, everybody. She did bring a copy of her new book, but we can't talk about that. It's under secrecy. Now we have been talking to a lot of singers and songwriters, and we try to get them to motivate and encourage you if you are outside of California. So we're hoping that Ty can drag you here as well with her inspirational stories and her story today about how she became a singer-songwriter. So welcome to the show, Ty Parr.
Hi, Priscilla.
Do you prefer to be called Ty or Tyana? Come a little closer to the mic.
Sometimes I think, Ty, probably, because it's easier. There's so many things that happen after the Y to people. I don't know why.
Did anybody ever call you in the 70s Ty Stick?
They did. Actually, they did, and I didn't know what it was.
For you young people, you'll know what that is, and I'm not going to tell you what it is.
I didn't know what it was. I had asked somebody, and they just laughed at me and said, "You're kidding. You got to know." I said, "No, I don't know." They've called me Twilia, Teeniana.
Oh, wow.
Because something about, it's T-Y-A-N-A, something about after the Y, something happens to people's minds.
It is an original name. I don't think I've ever heard it before. It's a beautiful name. I don't think I've heard it before. Why did your mother name you that?
I think it, I tell a lot of people, I think she was in extreme pain and she just...
Die!
Name her, call her this. It was my grandmother's.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Tyana Babette, and they were in the circus.
Oh, my are grandmother you kidding
and my,
me?
No, my father was in the circus. My mom was a big band singer. And it was just...
What did they do in the circus?
He did Roman ladder, trapeze, and high wire.
Wow. So are you of Hungarian descent or Eastern Europe descent?
German.
German, okay.
German,
okay.
And they came here, I think in the 20s... No, they came here in the 40s. Pretty sure, and we actually I was in the circus. He was in the Barnum and Bailey bluegrass shows, and I was in the sailor circus. It's like a three-quarter circus that they have in Sarasota, Florida, where they have the winter quarters.
Oh, is that where you're from?
Yeah.
Where are you from? Tell us.
I'm from here.
Okay.
I was born in Beverly Hills. No, I wrote a song about it.
We're going to be going through this, folks. Just bear with me. You know how these crazy singers are. They break out in song. They just can't stop singing.
We have to, and there's a microphone right there.
Yeah, and the mic is so good. It really makes you want to sing.
It's inspirational.
It
you go,
is.
Wow, I sound good.
Yeah, it makes you want to break out.
Something.
I know, I don't even sing, and I want to sing right now.
There you go.
They'll just pull me right off the air.
So you talked about motivation. And inspirational,
yeah,
and that's all part of it. It is too. Even when you decide to go ahead and go for it.
Now you're from Florida. Where did you
Sarasota,
when did,
Florida?
When did you know that you wanted to be a singer?
Oh boy, I was always singing.
Mm-hmm.
I got my baby Wurlitzer, baby grand.
Mm-hmm.
We were living in Beverly Hills, and my father found it in an old club.
Okay,
so it's a miniature. It's a smaller version. It's like a club version of a baby grand. And I got that when I was 5.
Mm-hmm.
But my father said that singers were a dime a dozen.
Oh.
So I was like, and he didn't like the entertainment industry necessarily because he had kind of been, he'd been in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was also working in advertising. And mom was a singer. So he wanted us to get away from it. But as it would turn out, I have 4 brothers, and every one of them are talented. I have a bass player, guitar player brother, one who plays and also makes guitars.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. Like you have
I just
that.
Learned what that was. That's a lutharist,
a luthier.
One who makes guitars.
Luthier.
They're called luthiers. Just learn that.
Luthier.
So when you discovered that you wanted to be a singer, what did you do? As a child, did you just sing all over the house or?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I sang. I did everything I could to be involved with music. I also did,
I did
a lot of community theater as a child. I also did, I was in like a singer for the big bands in school.
Mm-hmm.
I was also doing sound. I was doing everything I could. I was playing guitar and I was playing piano. My first gig was like this Holiday Inn happy hour gig out on Lido Beach. And you just sat there, and then I changed from guitar to piano.
Okay.
And I hauled around my big old Shure Vocal Master speakers into right. every club I went into, and I started singing. I even sang at my own prom. I started singing, performing when I was like 15.
That's great.
And my brothers were playing too, so it was like, well, and the groups, the band names.
So when you graduated high school, did you start college and pursue a career in major music?
I got my scholarship to junior college before I graduated from okay. high school. I started college in 11th grade.
Okay.
The end of 11th grade.
Okay.
And then I took my final, like, choir credits and stuff,
mm-hmm.
because that's all I was required to take in high school, and walked with a dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
I was 35 in my class, but I had already been going to junior college for a year.
Now, what you play many, many instruments. What are all these instruments that you play?
Blues harp.
Yes.
Flute.
Yes.
A little bit of cello. It's been a while.
Okay.
Piano.
Okay.
Guitar.
Okay.
And I have played bass and on one gig.
Are you self-taught, or did you learn this when you went to college?
I started by ear.
Okay.
I just heard things and played them, and actually kind of was interesting because in college they are, you know, we don't want you to memorize this, so they used to give me a bunch of atonal pieces to mm-hmm. play so that I had to read it because they wanted me to have the reading, which is really good to have. You have right. to have the reading.
Yeah. But are you a good reader?
I'm a great reader, but I'm not, you know, the best. Some people look at a piece of paper and they go, oh, of course, and they just start playing it. I have to kind of look at it and look for my changes, where they're going to be, look ahead a little bit more, and then go, okay,
mm-hmm.
let's go.
Mm-hmm. But, so when you were in college, did you end up getting your degree in music, or?
Yes, it was music and liberal arts, that AA degree, and then I went up to North Texas State University, mm-hmm. which is, now it's called the
Texas A&M?
No, is it's the University of, no. It's the University of North Texas.
Okay.
And they have a great jazz school there. Mm-hmm. And they had, I think, 11 bands,
mm-hmm.
like the from 1 o'clock, it might be 1 to 8, 1 o'clock band, the 2 o'clock band, 3 o'clock band. And we did a lot of Miss Texas pageants, Tyler Rose Festival. And I was copying music. I was doing music copy work then mm-hmm. for all these arrangers.
Right.
And I minored in percussion and composition.
Okay. Wow. Woo. Well, I'm excited. I want to get to the part where I sent, I did an email blast to tell everyone you were coming on the show. And what I was most excited about, it was your bio was so extensive that it was so hard to pick and choose.
But that's,
it was so much. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't send all of this. She is just so incredible. And she's lived such an incredible life and she's done this and that. I said, I'm going to just pick the things that interest me. So what I picked out was, you worked with Engelbert Humperdinck. Oh my God, mother and I love him. We're like total Engelbert. I think I met him one time when I was little, and I just, maybe it was a fantasy, but I think I met him. I think it. And then you also REO Speedwagon. Now I'm going to preface these, and then you tell us all about it. You've worked with REO Speedwagon, Engelbert Humperdinck, Ramsey Lewis, Smokey Robinson. And gosh, I can't remember the other ones, but tell us let's start with Engelbert, my heart now.
Engelbert.
How did you start working with Engelbert Humperdinck?
Well, there are many singers in LA
uh-huh.
that have worked with, we call him Eng.
Uh-huh.
He's been touring for, I think, over 45 years.
Oh, God, at least.
Yeah, and at least I think 40 weeks out of the year, he's just, he does a lot of what they call the rounds. They're mm-hmm. like 6,000 to 8,000 seaters in Vegas, and I'm sure he's still going strong now. But I got a call, and they asked me to read a piece of music. And because I'm an alto, I've had to read inner parts a lot. If you're mm-hmm. a soprano, you usually get assigned the melody.
Mm.
So sopranos, sometimes a lot of sopranos that I've met have a hard time reading music because if they don't get the melody, they're kind of lost.
Mm.
It's a different sensation when you have to read an inner part and also sing a little bit different range than you're used to. So I have always been an alto and asked to sing to double on soprano or asked to double on second soprano. And sometimes I've even, some choirs, they don't have a lot of men. They've asked me to sing like first and second tenor.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I'm a better reader and I have a better ear in those areas. So they asked me to read this part that just went down really simple. And they said, okay, can you leave in 4 days? I was like, Yeah.
Wow. So you just sang one line or one phrase and they hired you?
No, they gave me a chart.
Wow.
They gave me a chart with all the background parts on it.
Okay.
Written out, and then they had me read that.
Fantastic. And was it, how many people were with you as a background?
It was me and it was the musical director.
So you worked as background singer for him?
Yeah.
And was he nice? Was he super nice?
He was awesome to me. You know, a lot of people have different experiences with him, but he was always really kind to me.
Yeah. And I just love that name. It just rolls off your tongue, doesn't it? Engelbert Humperdinck. Love to say that. So Engelbert Humperdinck. And then now, REO Speedwagon. What now? Growing up back in the day, that was one of my favorite groups. I was so little and I would just, you know, listen to REO Speedwagon. How did you hook up with them?
That was so great. I got a call out of the blue and they said...
Well, we got to find out who these people are that are calling Ty, too, because she's saying that I got a call. They called. Who are these people that are calling you and where do we find them if we're a singer?
Well,
do you have an agent manager?
No, and a lot of singers do. I never did. Oh, okay. I just had a lot of word of mouth. Okay. You know, every like I'm doing. I told you next week I'm doing two different jobs.
No, we didn't cover that yet. We're still on REO Speedwagon.
Well,
you've got so
later.
Much. I can't even imagine how we're going
to
get.
But
through
the best
all of
way
it.
To get work is to keep working.
Yeah, word of mouth, especially in singing.
Show
you know?
Up, do a good job.
Yeah,
you know, and be
it's a little bit
positive,
more difficult,
easy to work with. You know,
yeah, it's a little more difficult than an actor because a lot of people are cast from websites. Like as an actor, you have you can put your resume and headshots on Actors Access, LA Casting, so many, or you can go to casting director workshops. With singing, I mean, it's all who you know, and it's
well,
a lot of networking.
Thing,
and...
I've talked to some actors who feel that singers have it easier because they said, you know,
really?
You can just do a gig. We can't just go on a corner and act. You know, I said, well, maybe not. But, you know, you could get in troops. I mean, you have to create your own, like you've done.
Right.
You have to create your own thing
your own
in order to be, you know, your vehicle. Keep
right.
it moving.
So back to REO Speedwagon.
Okay.
I know you know all about those men.
Kevin Cronin is the sweetest person. He's so nice. A friend of mine, Carla, who was singing with them. Called me and they were going to be losing one of the other singers.
Uh-huh. Now, what year are we talking here?
Oh,
were
boy.
They hot then? Was this when they were hot? When they were doing, you know,
this
I
was
know.
89. This is when the, I think this was when the compilation album had come out.
Yeah. So this was what, yeah, because I think they were hot in 79. I think they were hot in 79, 80. 78,
yeah,
79,
this was
80.
This was the end of the 80s. They'd already done their best hits.
Okay.
You know, I can't fight that feeling anymore.
Yeah.
All that. And now even when I hear it, just from singing it. Okay, so they asked me would I go to Chile. And I had been
That's
to...
That's Chile for you other people who don't know
well,
Chile.
I had just come from Chile. Texas, so to me at the time it was Chile.
Chile.
But I called my brother
mm-hmm.
because my brothers had been on different tours, Janet Jackson on different with
mm-hmm.
different artists, and they'd gone to Japan, and I said Chile.
Chile.
I called him. I said, you know, Bob, we're going to Chile, and he goes, oh, well, sweetie, that's great. Don't you know what's in Chile? And I said, no, what? He said, your favorite stone, lapis azul, comes from Chile. And I was like, oh, I get to go to
You
sing.
Were excited
I was
about
excited
a stone.
About the stone.
Instead of going with REO Speedwagon.
No, I mean, we had two or three days of rehearsal. And
did you know their music prior to that or
no? No, I mean, I'd heard it, you know, and I'd sung along like everyone else. But kind
okay.
of being a musician, I was always like working on my stuff or working on the stuff that people had called me for.
Okay.
So it was like, okay, I'm going to learn this guy. This is now my project, you know. And after, I think, just two or three rehearsals, we got out on plane.
Yeah.
And went down to Chile, and we had to remember not to say anything political.
Yeah.
You know, but what are a band? What are we going to say? But you don't know.
So where were they performing? Like, how many people
the
were they performing
place.
For?
It was called Viña del Mar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a festival that is about an hour away from Santiago.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, oh, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on the water, and it's a 5-day, 6-day like a week-long
mm-hmm.
festival where you win torches.
Ah.
And REO Speedwagon One of those churches.
What the hell is she talking about? I think Ty came in here drunk. It's what I'm thinking right now.
That's what they call this. A real speedwagon.
She's just trailing off. I got to reel her back in, people. I don't know. Don't talk foreign to me.
All right. Well, so it was about, I think it was 30,000 people, but it was an outdoor amphitheater, and it was just so amazing because there were all these trees around the outer rim, and there were people in the trees. All the way up the tree.
It was trees.
Fabulous. And they were chanting, and it was just the most.
What were they chanting?
They were chanting like.
Like one of their songs?
Yeah, they were chanting like a song. Hey-oh, hey-oh. You know, they were like chanting their own things that they had come up with. You know.
Was this
cheering.
Before Oreo cookie came on?
Yes, yeah, well, before sometimes it was before because there were a lot of. There was Roberto Carlos. Mm-hmm. There was Carlos Mata. Mm-hmm. These musicians from all over the world. Australia. You know, Brazil, Venezuela, Germany, Spain. I mean, that's where they.
I like
this
how
festival.
You pronounce every country correctly. I just say Brazil and Chile, and you're like Brazil, Chile. Oh my God! So, all right. So, Ario was fantastic to work with. Now, what about Smokey? Smokey Bear
I
Robinson.
I worked with Smokey. There's a group of singers here that. We were called LA Singers United, but it's actually Singers United for Service. Mm-hmm. Two friends out, Yvonne and I think it was Billy Barnum, had started this group. And we were basically touring recording vocalists and got in this big group. And the first thing we did was sang a video with Smokey Robinson to kind of get the word out. And that was a great fun because that was this huge choir.
Right.
And if you've ever been, like, you
no, I
can't
haven't.
Stop a moving train. Mm. All these voices.
Like, we are
just
the
like
world.
Great.
Sort of like, a we are
yeah,
the world.
Yeah, awesome singers. You know, every one of them, awesome. And, you know, it's just like this sound is like, wow, we are something. You know, plus it's team. I love team.
Team is what it's all about. We're working for the team.
Team is good.
Team is a good thing. Okay, so you have worked with so many. Who was your favorite person to work with? Your favorite star? Because you work with so many celebrities.
Actually, this is going to sound strange, but my favorite star, I didn't work for.
You didn't? You didn't?
Let me see. No, Al Jarreau.
Al Jarreau. Oh,
Al Jarreau was my favorite. We wrote a song, and he was great because he was just...
You and Al Jarreau wrote a song together.
And another writer, John Keane.
Oh, my God. Now, this is one of Albert's favorite musicians of all time, so
he's
probably dying over here, aren't you, Albert? He loves Al Jarreau. You know, I had only known Al Jarreau from that one song from Moonlighting. It was a show on with, we were just talking about
Ashley,
her.
That's so funny.
The blonde-haired, what's her name?
Sybil Shepherd.
And that's the only song I knew
that's
that he
where
did.
I met Bruce Willis. I was singing at this club in the Valley.
Uh-huh.
And Al Jarreau used to come in.
Okay.
And I used to do his version of Wait a Little While.
Okay.
And... A friend of mine brought him in and said, my friend does a version of Wait a Little While. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I think Al Jarreau's is the best version. And that's the version I choose to do. And he goes, well, I'd like you to meet Al Jarreau.
Ah!
And it was shortly after that I met Bruce Willis.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't know who he was.
Right.
And so they said, well, this is Bruce. And I said, well, he told me his name was Leon. And he was playing harmonica. And I said, well, hey, Leon, if you want to come sit in, come on back, you know. And he goes, sure. And he kind of toddled away, you know, and then another musician came up to me and he goes,
that is so Pisces.
Was Bruce nice to you? And I said, Bruce, he told me his name was Leon. He goes, no, that's Bruce Willis.
Oh,
I said, well, I don't know
God,
who he is.
That is so Pisces.
I'm working every night. I don't watch TV at night, you know. And he said, well, open any People magazine or Time, he's in it. That's Bruce Willis. And I was like, oh my gosh.
So what did you do with, did you sing the Al Jarreau version in front of Al Jarreau? Did you
see his
version? You did? What did he say?
Thank goodness I didn't know who he was.
Ah!
You know, he just said, oh, please do it. Please do it. I said, okay.
My God. And Ramsey Lewis? You worked with Ramsey Lewis?
We opened for Ramsey Lewis and Flora Purim.
Do we have a call? Is that a call?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought we had a call. Okay, so how did you like working for Ramsey Lewis?
Well, we opened for him. I was working with a band named Bill Tillman.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in Texas. He used to be with some old greats, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and wow. people like that. And we used to do this jazz circuit in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Ramsey Lewis and Flora Purim. It just monstrous. Just, I mean, in the jazz school was right there in Denton, Texas. So
yeah.
it was like all these monster players.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just like fantastic.
Yeah.
You could just give them a napkin with black dots on it, and they would make it sound like, wow.
Turn it into a song. So you have played with celebrities are just nothing to you. You just hang out with them, play with them. You've just done it all. Now, one thing that you, being a singer and songwriter, one thing that we wanted to talk about was the difference in how it's, well, the discussion I wanted to talk about, rather, is when you're a singer-songwriter, you often write songs that are for, you think, are for your voice, and then you after you finish them and you start singing them, and I know I have a lot of friends who are singer-songwriters, they're like, you know, I don't really think that's for me, and they start thinking of celebrities who they think would sound perfect singing their song, and that's who they target the songs to, hopefully. Do you do that as well?
Yeah, I do that, but normally I know when it's not, I know before I write
okay.
it.
Okay, you do.
Yeah, because certain styles are my strengths. As far as backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
I can do anything.
Okay.
But as far as my strengths, you know, it's like writing something or telling a child a story.
Mm-hmm.
They know when it's not true.
Right.
And if you are not singing what you are,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't sound true.
Now, that is very interesting. How, in your opinion, do you know when a song style is for you? Because I often hear people singing songs, they think, oh, well, just because I can sing rock and roll, I can sing pop, I can sing country, and they proceed to try and sing those songs, and they don't quite sound right. How do you know when your style is? Because a lot of times you try to tell them, well, you know, that just doesn't sound right. They don't want to hear it. They
well,
think
that's
they
true.
Can sing anything.
And even, you know, there's a very well-known TV show out. We all know it.
Is it my favorite? American Idol?
It is. And to me,
everybody knows my affection and love for Simon. We know my fantasy man. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I think what Simon does is he takes people and he tries to get them. That's why they're using other people's material.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's for licensing and legal reasons.
Right.
That they're using a set of music. But also, if you can take one of those songs and make it yours,
mm-hmm.
own it,
mm-hmm.
swag with it, you
yeah.
know, walk with it, and just make it live the way you sing,
mm-hmm.
then you're good.
Yeah.
And you have to take it, and when we were growing up,
mm-hmm.
we used to have to buy the single or whatever, or the cassette of it, and listen to it over and over to get the words. And then if we sang it in a club, we had to perfect it just like that singer.
Right.
Like, you know, if somebody wanted me to sound like, you know, Thelma Houston,
mm-hmm.
I better sound like her, because that's what they came to hear, was like cover music is
right.
what it's called.
Right.
Well, nowadays, you have to get to your own sooner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think American Idol makes you do that. You have to make it live.
Right.
You have to, like, just like when you go in a studio, say as a radio personality,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
as a host,
mm-hmm.
you have to make that room yours. So
right.
whatever you need, you've got your microphone just so, you know, you've got your water ready,
right.
you know, you've got your computer set up, you've got your notes set up, and you're going to make that room yours for the time that you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Same way with a recording session. When I go into a recording session, I want to know exactly what I need to make it happen for me. I got it all.
Right.
And then I can jump into it. But that's how I think when you...
How do you know the right style for your voice? Like, some people can sing, they sound better singing rock and roll. Some people sound better singing pop. Some people sound better singing country or alternative. How do you know if you can sing all of them? How do you know which one you're the best at and that you should focus on as your singing style,
your
signature?
I would use as an example...
Because everybody's going to tell you, oh, you sound great at everything. So you
and
can't necessarily
not.
Believe that.
You know,
so
maybe,
how do you really truly know?
I think you have to record yourself. And sometimes you can use outside input. But it's like the movie Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those were not singers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those. Meryl Streep, who's just done an incredible job. Just
right.
like, wow. Right. She wows me every time.
Right.
She makes it her song. But she's not that great big Mamma Mia singer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then who was it? Colin Farrell, when he did his number, he kept it more like a folk tune. Because mm-hmm. that's his style of voice. If you could go through and see how they sang the songs in comparison to the original singers, mm-hmm. and you can see the difference there,
mm-hmm.
then I think it'd be easier for you to know what way you're supposed to be singing.
Right.
Because if you have a folky kind of voice, you don't need to be doing, you know...
It's hard because...
Patti LaBelle licks.
Yeah.
You know, just...
A lot of singers, they really... Some of them are in denial and think, just like a lot of actors, they think that they can, just because they're good singers, they can sing every style and it sounds good. And that's not necessarily true, as we all know from hearing the people in American Idol, because some of them sound really good singing alternative, but then right. you put them with some torch song, you know, Patsy Cline, and they can't do it.
Well, I think a good exercise would be to do something just simply without all the production,
mm-hmm.
just simply guitar and piano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you sound there? How do you live there?
Right.
If you had all this production, like most demos, they don't want to hear a whole lot of production.
No.
Because the producer is going to do that.
Right.
And, you know, give him, it's just
that's
like they say.
That's very good. Let's talk about that, because you are a composer. What do you think is the perfect demo? If you're a record producer and say
you
I'm
mean
a,
for shopping music?
Yeah. I'm an artist. I'm a singer-songwriter. What should I do to put my demo together to make sure that you can really hear me and that I'm what you want?
Well, a lot of people who shop songs, mm-hmm. they actually are... they're called music shoppers, and what they're called pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is they say, if you want us to pitch a song, just try and make them as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Piano, guitar, vocal, simple, simple, simple. Because if the song's good, we'll hear it.
Right.
We know. Well, a lot of people will just have so much production. I feel like when I'm shopping a song to somebody, or if I'm giving a song for a certain artist, give them something that they could go, oh, man, I could sing the heck out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give them something to be excited about. Give the producer, oh, man, you know, like leave out a, like, say the part was, I know you love me. And you could put that harmony in there and go, I know you love me. Don't put it in there because they're going to hear that and they're going to go, oh, man, we could put harmony there and we could do this. Man, power guitars right here. You know, let them
right.
use their imagination and think that that demo was look, because they're going to do that anyway. At the end of the day, they're going to go and take the demo and go, Bob, remember that song we found? Remember that song?
So
listen to what we did to it. You know?
So simple is better.
Simple,
just
I think.
Your voice and the guitar, or your voice with the piano. It doesn't need to be all overproduced with tons
no,
of...
No, I don't think so. I mean, listen to Colby
mm-hmm.
Calais. Now, she just got a deal. Her, even though her father was one of the producers of Fleetwood Mac,
mm-hmm.
I think he produced Tusk. Well, she has a little bit of help in the industry, but, you know, her MySpace pages, those songs were like 95,000.
Mm.
95,000 hits.
Wow.
And my brother told me, he said, you know, nowadays a record deal may not be, you know, it ain't that easy. And he said, if you don't at least have, you know, 50 to 100,000 hits on all your songs, because if people like them,
yeah,
word of mouth will get them.
Exactly.
There. If they don't like you, you'll never get there.
Right.
And so... it's easier now to do it on MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just simple band stuff that
right.
she did.
Right.
And singing to her own style.
Now, with people, a lot of musicians, of course, that I believe that was a website that was originally started by musicians, and it just exploded into everybody using it. Now, a lot of people are taking their original songs and they're selling them on MySpace through Snowcap,
right.
Is that a good idea for people to be doing that with being original songwriter? Does that hurt your chances of a record label actually taking you on, or does that not affect it at all? Because
you know,
if you're selling them, what happens if you sell your song for like 99 cents and then you're shopping your stuff around and then a record label actually wants to produce that song? How would that work?
Well, personally, I think
would they not be able to use it because you've already
sold it? I don't think so, but
it?
Also someone told me one time, you know, I wrote a song and someone used it and they were an artist and they totally changed it and I didn't like the way they changed it,
mm-hmm.
but it that's, you know, That's what it was, you know, and I said, I was a little upset about it. And he said, you know, Ty, if you thought that that was the last good song you ever wrote, then stop writing. Because you're not a writer. Keep cranking it out. If you think, you know what, that was a good song, and it didn't quite go the way I wanted it to, but I'm going to do a better one. You know, that's the competition that's, that comes in. That's you have to have
because
that.
On the one hand, you want your best stuff to be there so people will become attracted to it and then want to buy it, and then you're spreading the word. But on the other hand, a lot of people say, well, do you really think I should put it on MySpace? Because what if a record label has interest? Does that affect me? And I'm not a lawyer, an entertainment attorney. I don't know if that would affect.
I think it affects you only if you are not willing to take it off the site. Mm. Of course, like, especially with our favorite show, American Idol. You know, as soon as those people sign contracts, you know, they're bound by those contracts. Yeah. So they cannot do any of their own performances. They can't they can't talk about it. They really can't tell anybody what's happening when, and that's the same kind of contract. Now, I just heard about a deal where a girl was on American Idol. She got off the show. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the winner, and she had recorded an album prior to being on the show.
Right.
All the contracts of American Idol said that she couldn't do any other work. But as soon as her contract was up with American Idol and she was off the show, her album was released.
Fantastic.
Right. So American Idol was good for helping her get there.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
Speaking of things that we can't talk about, you know I'm going to bring it up, Miss Ty Parr. Miss Ty Parr, now we can't say too much. Hush, hush, secret, secret. So don't tell anybody, people listening. But Miss Ty Parr just brought me this gorgeous, gorgeous book today. And she is also a, you know, a writer. So she just wrote this wonderful children's book. But I'm not supposed to talk about it. I don't know the name of it. I'm not going to tell you because I can't remember it. Do you want to share anything about that?
I can share that Richard Price actually wrote the book.
Oh, he wrote it.
He wrote the book.
Oh, my fault. I thought you wrote it.
I wrote some of the music.
Oh, you wrote the music.
Yeah, it's a children's book with a CD.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's great stuff. And I had such a great time because I have a, you know, my own personal little 7-year-old that I go to and go, hey, man, what do you think of this? Does it, you know, if you don't like it, you can tell me. And he'd go, and he was like brilliant. He would go, well, I think what you should do is do that part again, and then maybe do an instrumental part, and then do that part again and again. You know,
I think it's like seven years old, writing
a song.
Why can't we talk about it? What is it? What's the reason? Because it hasn't been released yet?
It's not released until spring of 2009.
Okay, so you're going to have to come back.
And I haven't had permission.
Right.
So I don't want to.
Well, no, of course not. But Ty Parr is going to have a hot book. We know. So we'll hopefully bring her back. Maybe you can come back a month before and we can do some promotion.
Okay. Oh, that'd be great.
That would be wonderful.
It's going to be a series. It's a series of books.
Yeah, and I mean, I saw it. I got to see the graphic design. It's really gorgeous, and I really like the little treat, which I'm not going to tell you what it is, but there's a treat. There's something attached to it, which is worth the price. So, you know what we're going to do now, because we're running out of time? I want to play a little bit, because we were just talking about the difference between, you know, you're a singer-songwriter, you are going to sing something, and then we're going to listen to something that Ty Parr is singing, so you can hear what a wonderful singer she is. That'll be the first song, and then the second song will be one that she has written that another artist is singing, but not the artist that we were talking about earlier, which is Hush Hush Secret Secret. This is the Lauren Evans.
This is Lauren Evans, and it was written to be motivational.
Okay.
And a lot of my stuff is written that way. I don't like bashing men. I don't like...
Oh, no, I don't like that either. I love some men.
Isn't there enough negativity?
I love me some men.
Give me a good man, and you'll make him feel good.
Oh,
when
there
he comes
is no
home,
reason.
You know,
I don't want to hear
make him glad he's
I don't
home.
Like men bashing women. I don't like women bashing men. You know, I love men. Without men, there are no women, and vice versa. So, anyway, the first song is... what is the title of that? It's the one, not the fly, not the one that Lauren does.
Oh, I can do it?
No, the first one's
going to be Something's Going to Be All Right. Okay, that's me. And
that's
that is another motivational
Okay.
Song.
That, now, we're only going to hear, you know, a little clip of it. It's, if you want it, you got to go to myspace.com/Ty Parr and buy it. I don't know if you're selling
I'm not set
it.
Up on Snowcap yet.
Okay.
But
well,
that'll be
how
soon.
Would they get that if they wanted to? I think that one is on a CD, right?
It is on a CD.
It is. How would they get your music if they want to buy it? Oh, you got to set up Snowcap. You know, okay. I swear to God.
I know it.
It takes like a minute.
They get 49 cents. You get 51. No, I mean, they get half of what you sell it for. But then also that makes you be able to set up a price point. I've seen things for 66 cents on Snowcap before.
Wow.
But, I think it's a viable way of going for any songwriter out there who wants to get on, because you can get on MySpace anywhere in the country.
Well, what about CDBaby.com? Do you have your CD on there?
I don't have it there because it's not, there's style, because this is a swing, big band stuff, and I do a lot of Christmas stuff and a lot of like Andrew Sister stuff.
Every type of song on CDBaby.com.
But singles? I thought I had to have the whole album.
Oh, you have the, okay.
Yeah.
So you don't have a whole CD composed together, you just have songs, bits and pieces.
Like it's like a library of different kinds, different flavors.
Oh, yeah. So you gotta do Snowcap then. You gotta do MySpace. You can't do CDBaby. So anyway, the first song we're gonna hear is Something, give me the title.
Something's Gonna Be All Right.
Something's Gonna Be All Right. And the second one, Ty Parr wrote, it's called
I Can Do It. I wrote it with Patsy Meyer.
And this the second one is sung by
Lauren Evans.
Lauren Evans. So without further ado, let's listen to Tyana Parr. And we're hoping that it's playing. And, here it comes. Here we go. It's so low.
How'd you get so crazy? You need a melody that you can sing along. There's one way to go when you're feeling so low. Put the rhythm in your shoes and go. Come on, come on.
Get on your feet.
Move to the music.
Pick up your heat.
Be glad you're alive.
Hang on tight.
Don't you worry about nothing, son.
Encore.
Come on, look on the bright side.
Don't give up.
And work through the night.
Tough it out.
Don't you worry about nothing. Something's alright. Slow down, fast lane. It's time to make a change. When
Now, see that? That is fantastic, because we heard two songs written by you and also Patsy Meyer on Cool It Now, or what is it?
I Can Do It.
I Can Do It.
Is with Patsy Meyer. And then Something's Gonna Be All Right is with a great pianist, Bill Cunliffe.
So you wrote with these two separate people, and yet we can hear, you know, your influence. You can go like sort of torch song, I believe the first one, they call it torch song music.
I call it the 40s, 50s kind of style.
40s, 50s, yeah. They call it torch song, 40s, 50s. And then something totally modern. And I believe that you could have sung the second one and it would have had your own individual style, and it still would have sounded great, and vice versa.
Well,
so I think
maybe.
It's the song. I think that the words and the arrangement, they play such a big part.
Phrasing plays a huge part. And also, I tend to have very little vibrato. I have a real strong straight tone, which is hard for a lot of singers to do. However, it's easier to turn a lick and pop if you have that stronger vibrato.
Right. That was fantastic. See, you got to send me some more stuff.
Okay.
Because I only have those three songs and I need more. That was just fantastic. Tell us a little bit about the girl who was singing the second song. What's her name?
Lauren Evans.
I have the worst memory. Lauren Evans. She's really good.
She's
now, she
fantastic.
Should be on American Idol. Tell her to try out for American
Idol. I think she is working on an album somewhere. I'm just not sure where she is. I wasn't able to locate her.
Well, how did it come to be that she ended up singing a song that you guys wrote? Did you write specific? Did she hire you to write it? Or how did it come to be that she's singing it?
It's because she was singing on the composer for Passions, the daytime soap. We had written a bunch of stuff with him. And what they would do is they'd give us a scene and we'd have to write a song around it. And which is kind of a great challenge if you've never tried it.
No.
Because, you know, it's like I showed it to my fiancé and he said, "What is this? This guy is married to this girl and she's his sister and they have a baby and the father's long lost, you know, whatever." I said, "Well, it's a soap opera."
Soap opera.
Of course it is, you
know.
That's
right.
But Lauren used to do a lot of the singing for that, a lot of the demos that went to or that either aired. We would write the song and do our little demo, and then the producer would produce it and either have one of the stars singing it or have Lauren do the demo on it.
Okay.
And she's a tremendous singer.
Great. Albert is fooling with the microphone, and now we sound like we're in a tunnel, Albert. Can you please put it back the way that it was?
That is.
Okay. All right. Well, we sound kind of weird now, but why don't you sit down, honey? It's enough of fooling with the little buttons here, because now...
I didn't touch anything.
What did you just touch? We sound totally different now.
That's why what's her name has the little people that guy there, because he's not tall enough to reach over her.
Okay, we sound totally weird now. I don't know. So my audience, we don't know why, but we sound different.
No, it sounds exactly the same. I don't know what you mean.
Is it me or
no,
do we sound different?
I don't sound as rich and full as I did before.
See, you did something.
No, oh
my Lord, have mercy. Okay, why don't you
It's gain.
All right, well, I think the buttons are good to go for the rest of the show, honey. Why don't you...
We were going in the red.
Well, that's okay. We're all right in the red. We were sounding good. We were loving the way we sounded, weren't we, Ty? We're going in the red.
It was a good session.
He's looking at some button.
We had it made.
Yeah.
We were looking at the clock waiting for the recess bell.
Yeah, we weren't looking at the red. He's back at the buttons again. What are you doing? Leave the buttons alone. He's obsessed with these buttons. Okay, Albert. So you are currently, we don't have much time. I want to cover this real quick. We got about 4 minutes. You are currently working on your Christian CD, Christian worship CD of original songs. Tell me about that.
Well, every Sunday night, except for tonight because I'm here, I sing at the First Christian Church of North Hollywood.
Okay.
And help lead the worship there. And there's a group of us, a great musicians and great singers, and I write a lot of gospel music. So that's what I'm working on next. It's going to be a cross between some traditional gospel, you know, with choirs and just like...
Amazing Grace,
raise
which is
the
my
roof.
Favorite.
Maybe that. Maybe Amazing
love
Grace.
That.
We're doing an all-music service next week, as a matter of fact.
Ooh,
at 5:30.
Cool. Yeah, you won't be here. You'll be there. That's where
I'll
you are every
there.
Sunday, right?
Yeah.
You and Patsy Meyer, because I try to get her to book her for the show, and she's got that Christian group, too, every week.
Yeah.
I said, well,
Patsy
how about
plays
in 2009?
Percussion, too, and she sings on that. So
okay.
It's really great.
Yeah.
It's a great group of musicians. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
This
oh, I bet.
It's worship.
That's where you hear some really good music in church. That's where a lot of our best singers came from, as we know. Now, you got some upcoming stuff going on. Let's see. We got August 31st. You are going to be... Is that what we just talked about?
The
all music? Okay. And then on September the 5th, you've got something called the Surf Rider Foundation. It's having a benefit at Duke's in Malibu.
Yeah.
And what's that associate with the Malibu Surfing Association contest?
Well,
and a screening of... Accidental Icon, the real Gidget story.
Right, her
that
father
is
wrote.
So
he wrote the book
weird.
That they turned into Gidget.
Uh huh.
I think her name is Kathleen Zuckerman. It is now is her married name, but that was the book was originally written about her.
Okay.
It was called A Little Girl with Big Ideas.
Oh, wow. And we're so there really was a Gidget.
There was really a Gidget.
Oh, my God. Now, who played Gidget in the movie?
Was Sally Fields.
Sally Fields,
and
right.
then there was Darren.
Bobby Darren.
Bobby Darren? It was Moondoggy.
Oh, I don't know who that was.
James Darren.
James Darren. Okay.
And I work with a group called the Malibus, and we do like surfer music.
What? Are you kidding?
It's crazy fun.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It's great. And so we're going to, there are four of the Malibu songs are in that. If you're into surfing, they also did Into the Blue. They have a couple songs on that. But it's all surfer music.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. We're almost out of time. We could just talk to you forever. And then on September 6th, you'll be performing with Jeannie Cunningham for the Military Stop Loss event. And you can find out all about that information on MySpace. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We are going to end this show. And next week, we're going to have a fantastic guest, Sue Publicover from Writers in the Round, Writers of the Round Table. You're going to love it. We're going to go out, actually, with Ty Parr. Music. Let's listen to that again, people. We'll see you next week on Question Reality. Say bye.
My blue baby, how'd you get so crazy? You need a melody that you can sing along. There's one way to go when you're feeling so low. Put the rhythm in your shoes and go. Come on, come on.
Get on your feet.
Move to the music.
Pick up your heat.
Be glad you're alive.
Hang on tight.
Don't you worry about nothing. Something's gonna be all right.
Stay on course.
Come on, look on the bright side.
Don't give up.
And work through the night.
Tough it out.
Don't you worry about nothing. Something's gonna be all right. Slow down, fast lane. It's time to make a change.